2 Kings chapter 3. I'd like to read this morning from 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 15, where it says, "But now bring me a musician. Let it happen, when the musician played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver you from the Moabites into your hand. Also you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree, and stop up every spring of water, and ruin every good piece of land with stones. Now it happened in the morning, when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. And then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, This is the blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil. So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them. And they entered the land, killing the Moabites. Then they destroyed the cities, and each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it. And they stopped up the springs of water and cut down the good trees. But they left stones of Kir-Harsheth intact. However, the slingers surrounded it and attacked it. And when the kings of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. They took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel. So they departed from him and returned to their own land." Last week, we were looking at God's plan. And we said, as the people, the kings of Judah and Israel and Edom, came together in an alliance that was not backed by God, we don't see them pray, calling out to God, and they form this alliance because of political and financial reasons. And they never asked God what to do. Then they got into a desperate situation because they relied on themselves and not on the Lord. Then when things were desperate, when everything was falling apart, then they turned to the Lord. And they looked for a man like Elisha, a man who they knew was experienced, who was apprenticed, and was not impressed by the work of others because he had been in the presence of God. And when they asked him for advice and they consulted the Lord, God had a plan. Imagine that. God had a plan, and his plan worked out the way he intended it to. That's the way God works in our lives. And we see here, I love verse 18. "This is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord." Even the most impossible tasks that we can think of, throughout the scriptures, we see that God is able, he is a God that is able to do the impossible with ease. Is anything too hard for the Lord, we read in the scriptures? And so we looked at God's plan. Maybe we did. Last week. Matt, did that get unplugged? Are we good now? I unplugged it. this morning. We don't need those. Oh, there we go. We looked at the minstrel and how music played a part. And we looked at Colossians 3:16 and how music is an important part of corporate worship. We sang songs this morning, directed praise and honor and glory to God. But God has to come first. And the music ought to glorify Him and give praise to Him. Not the other way around. But our praise and our testimony and the songs from our lips should give God the glory. And that's why Satan wants to attack music and wants to use it against God's plan. When we talked about digging ditches, and so how sometimes the work of the Lord is hard work. These guys would have to go out and dig ditches. God instructed them to do that. I said last week, I said, if we want to see God at work in the world around us, we need to be hard at work in building His kingdom. Let Him give the increase. But we need to plant. We need to water. We need to go out and let the Word of God lay a foundation in people's lives. It's hard work digging ditches, and we need to be hard at work in the work of the gospel. We have a work to do, and God has given us a work to do. Maybe it's not digging ditches, and I'm not saying that we go out and we go around church afterwards and we dig a ditch, or we don't go up to Perry's pond tonight and dig a moat around his house or something, but we've got work to do. We need to be out there sharing the gospel, investing in people's lives, going out and sharing the gospel with those who need it most. We need to be, God told them to destroy the city, to wipe it out. And I said last week that God is not soft on sin. And if we have sin in our hearts, things that are separating us from that relationship with God, we need to take care of those issues. And we need to eliminate even the temptation from sin from our eyes, from our hearts, and not give Satan the ability to get in and work in our hearts and in our lives. Again, God is not soft on sin. And this week, as we open our Bibles and as we continue in this story, we see that they had victory by the blood. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 3, and let's focus in on verses 20 to 26. It says, "Now it happened in the morning, when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the king had come up to fight against him, and all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, 'This is blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil.' So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up in attacking Moabites so that they fled before them. And they entered their land, killing the Moabites. Then they destroyed the city, and each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it. And they stopped up the springs of water and cut down all the good trees, but they left the stones of Ker Harsheth intact. However, the slingers surrounded and attacked it." As I read this and as I saw that, I said, these people were saved by a miracle of God, in which God allowed these Moabites to look into the water and see it as if it appeared to be blood, and they said, "Oh, we've won! We've defeated Israel and Judah. Let's go take them." They've turned on each other. But what they didn't realize is that this was the hand of God at work and showing them that He was going to provide victory by the blood. And as I look and as I think about our lives, I don't know what's going on in your heart today, and what God is putting on and going on in your life and in your heart. But if the enemy were to look into your heart, and if he were to see what's going on in there. Would the enemy, Satan, the devil, the world, sin, would it think that it is winning because it has destroyed you? Because there is conflict in your life? Your heart is ruined, it's destroyed. It's at that moment when we are so desperate because sin has ruined us that the blood of Jesus Christ is so effective and so powerful to save. And today, if you are looking for something to save your soul because you've realized that sin has destroyed your life, it has ruined relationships, that you feel that there's no way out, that there is no hope, let me tell you, Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross, shed his perfect blood so that you could be saved from your sin, so you could find real, true atonement, a relationship with God restored. And once you get your relationship restored with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, he can begin to work in your life and to sanctify you and to completely change your life. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. I look at the Old Testament and I see miracles like this. I see God providing manna for the children of Israel. I see Moses lifting his hands and the Israelites winning battles. And we say sometimes, well, we don't see miracles like that today. We have a much more powerful weapon against our enemy than the children of Israel had. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said, he talked about these things. He said, if you follow me, you will see greater things than these. And as we see the power of prayer through the gift of the Holy Spirit, salvation at the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has the power to change lives for eternity. He wants to use you in that process. And we can look back at the great things that God has done. And why aren't we using these things today? Why aren't we seeing God at work? We're not sharing. We're not coming to the cross. We're not relying on the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection to change our lives and the lives of people around us. Let's look at some passages of scripture this morning. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus 17. In Leviticus chapter 17, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for yourselves. For it is blood that makes atonement for the soul." Maybe you sit there and you go, you said, "Pastor Scott, you've been saying that word atonement. You just read in there and you read atonement, atonement, atonement." You say, "What's that? What is this atonement all about that we read in Leviticus 17 and verse 11? Atonement is what God gave us through the gift of his blood that he shed on the cross. We had a broken relationship with God the Father because of sin in our heart that kept us from having that fellowship with God Almighty. It was like a wall that separated us, a vast divide that kept us from a relationship with God. But when Jesus Christ shed his blood, and as we accept his gift of salvation, that relationship is restored. And we can once again have fellowship with God. We can go before him and lift our requests before him and know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ Almighty. What a powerful gift, what a powerful weapon the blood of Jesus Christ is. Let's turn over our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." We have redemption. We sang that this morning. We sang about the redemption that Jesus Christ has the power to set us free from our sins, the power to forgive us of our sins, and to find his grace to be satisfactory through the blood of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for his blood this morning and its power to save. If we can look over in Colossians chapter 1, we'd see in the sister book that Paul wrote, in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 20, it says, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." The blood is a powerful weapon over our enemy. Our enemy is called the prince and power of the air in the Word of God. He is powerful. He has the ability to attack, to devour, to ruin people's lives. And he's going to use sin to do that. And maybe he's been using sin in your life to do that this morning. You find that the devil is at work and you're trying to fight him with weapons that aren't adequate. Maybe today, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're battling a drug addiction and you've tried everything to try and fight it. Let me tell you, there's power in Jesus Christ to give you victory over that. Maybe today you're battling relationships. You're involved in a relationship that is out of control and you know that it's wrong and you know that things are going downhill in a hurry. And you've tried everything to try and fix it. Let me tell you, there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he has the ability to heal those broken relationships today. Maybe today you know that sin is destroying your life. Lying, stealing, just sinful thoughts, sinful ideas. And you feel that in your soul. Your family is ruined. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ to heal that. Your relationship with God is destroyed and you don't feel you can talk to him. And you feel that when you pray and you cry out to him, your prayers only reach the ceiling and you don't know why. But you know that you have sin in your heart and you want God to save. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ to save that. Think about what these people in 2 Kings chapter 3 were going through. They felt desperate. They felt that everything was done. Everything was out over. They cried out to God. And Jesus Christ had not died on the cross yet. But God was going to give them a picture of what he would do one day. And he'd show them that he has the power to save. And he let those Moabites see that water turn into blood. And the enemy thought, "We won!" And so they rushed into things. But that was when God was at work. And maybe today, you look and it feels like the enemy has won in your life. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood so that Jesus Christ could say, "In your life, I have won." As we continue to look in the book of 2 Kings, actually let's turn back there for a moment. 2 Kings chapter 3. We see that the Moabites didn't give up. They continued their attack. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 3, "When the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not." As we look here, victory at the blood, the Moabite attack focused on one of the alliance leaders, the king of Edom. You got to pray for your leaders, because when the blood of Jesus Christ starts working and lives are being changed for eternity, people get on their knees and they start praying and sinner's prayer, and they find that God has the ability to change lives. The enemy's not going to give up. He he's going to continue. He's going to try to attack the leaders. He's going to try to attack people involved. So we need to be in prayer for our leaders. Here we saw as the Moabites felt that things were going wrong, they immediately tried to attack the leaders. And today, if we see the blood of Jesus Christ transforming lives, changing people's hearts, the devil's going to just keep on attacking. And he's going to try to get in. He's going to try to attack the leaders and bring them down. So pray for your leaders. But God's blood is powerful to defeat our enemy. And I thank the Lord that the blood of Jesus Christ right now has the ability to atone for your sins. If you have a relationship with God, that sin has kept you from ever knowing what it means to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ has the ability to fix that relationship, to atone for the wrong things that you have done. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why we celebrate communion this morning. Not only does he have the power to save you from your sins today, he wants to work in your life, to help you to overcome the sin and the power of the devil and his grip on your life. But ultimately, and this is the part I love, ultimately, it's the blood of Jesus Christ and his victory over sin and death and the cross that our enemy will ultimately be destroyed. Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12 in verse 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." We see victory here by the blood of the Lamb. In Revelation chapter 7, in verse 14, we read something similar. In Revelation chapter 7, in verse 14, it says, "And I said to him, Sir, you know." So he has said to me, "These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Today, as we sit there and as we think about this and we contemplate that, we got to remember that evil is still evil. As we looked and as we finished reading in that passage in 2 Kings chapter 4, the Moabites resorted to human sacrifice in order to try to win the battle as a last-ditch effort. The king of Moab slaughtered his own son. And as we look at what we see in the world around us today, evil will still be evil. Around us, we're going to still see the enemy at work. But God's children, his people, know that there is something different about those who have found redemption, reconciliation, atonement by the blood of the Lamb. And today, maybe you're sitting here and you're hearing what I'm saying, and you're saying, "Yeah, sin has destroyed my life. It has ruined my relationships, my life, and I do not have a relationship with the God who has power and victory over sin." This week, as I was listening to people, I know that there is testimony after testimony after testimony of people in this church who sin had destroyed their heart, ruined their lives. And they, in a moment of desperation, came crawling to Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. They poured out their heart to the Savior. They believed in him. They gave their lives over to him and found victory and a changed life and a new life by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And today, maybe that's you. Maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, "I need a changed life. I hear what you're saying. I understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive me of my sins. He shed his blood for me, and I understand that. And I want victory because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I would love to talk to you today. There are many people here that would love to share from their heart the plan of salvation. I'd like to open the scriptures and show you how you can truly believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is your personal Savior, and He came to die on the cross to save you from your sins. Would you come find one of us today? Would you pour your heart out to God and find Him to be the Savior of your soul? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the blood of the Lamb, that You would lay down Your life for our sins. We sang there's power in the blood, that we can find salvation, a right relationship with You, atonement. And I pray, Lord, that You might just help us to cry out to You. And if there's one person here today who does not know You as their personal Savior, I pray that before they leave, they might come and ask and pray and find You to be their Savior, so that they may know that they belong to Jesus. In Your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals to number 501 this morning. 501, Now I Belong to Jesus. Someone here who doesn't know the meaning of that song, Now I Belong to Jesus, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity, that today might be the day that they find salvation at the cross. In Your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.